بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. فماذا بعد الحق إلا الضلال فأنا تصرفون. If you move away from the truth, then there's nothing but strain. So there's just two ways in this life. Either you're on the truth or on the right. And if you depart from the truth, then it's just straying away. You're a lost case, straying away, misguidance. And then in that straying, you'll have different levels. You'll have one straight, he's off. And you may have a compounded misguidance upon misguidance, misguidance upon misguidance. In the wording of the Quran, darkness upon darkness, zulumatum ba'duha fawqa ba'd, is not just one layer of darkness, but layers of darkness. Imagine a person in the depths of an ocean, right? As you're underwater, you can't see. You go down, further down, further down. See, after about 50 meters, you can't see. Vision is gone. Now, you're right inside, say 30, 40, 50 meters, then above it is a cloud. And above that cloud is another cloud. There's the ocean that you're right under, and above is a wave. Above the wave is a cloud. It's so dark, إِذَا أَخْرَجَ يَدَهُ لَمْ يَكَدْ يَرَاهَا. Can't see your hand. The hand is the nearest thing that you can put to your eyes. Closest thing that you can put to your eyes is your hand. You can't even see your own hand. وَمَنْ لَمْ يَجْعَلِ اللَّهُ لَهُ نُورًا فَمَا لَهُ مِنُ. And if Allah Ta'ala strips away, takes away that light, then you can't see. Generally, the take is that I got intelligence, so I can understand, I can see things in perspective. But Allah Ta'ala says that I remove that understanding, that light of intelligence, I move it away. So what can you see? Can't see anything. So it's compounded. So seeing, being able to see the right is not based just on your intelligence. Right? It's based on your intelligence and understanding, provided there is that clear vision. You can see properly. Right? You're seeing in perspective. You're seeing correctly. And number two is this. Apart from seeing correctly, understanding correctly, then the correct version is shown to you. The picture is shown to you. It's correct. And you got the ability to see right. So one has to merge with the other for you to be able to gain visibility. You don't only need the light of the eye, but you need the outer light. If there is the light of the eye, you can see right, but the area is covered with darkness totally, can you see? You got the light, but when the outside is covered with darkness entirely, can you see? So you need the one light to merge with the other light to create visibility. So you need your own light and the light of Allah Ta'ala. If both are merged, then you can see things in perspective. And then your speed will grow in proportion to your visibility. Otherwise, كُلُّ حِزْبٍ بِمَا لَدَيْهِمْ فَرِحُونَ. Every person becomes too confident about my understanding, what I think, how I reason. I'm overconfident. And when I'm overconfident, then why must I listen to you? Do I need to listen to you? إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَيَطْغَى أَرْرَآهُ اسْتَغْنَى. Man goes off. From which point he goes off? أَرْرَآهُ اسْتَغْنَى. He considers himself to be self-sufficient. I'm sufficient, I'm enough, I don't need anybody. So that's the point of you being thrown off the course. Which is the point? The point is where you thought yourself to be self-sufficient. Now look at the design of the world. When you look at the design of the world, then you get things in perspective. And to see the design of the world, you need to see with a clarity, with a clear vision. No partialism, and no prejudice, no bias, clear, see it clearly. And Allah wants you to see it. فَأَتَبِيرُ يَا أُولِي الْأَبْصَارِ People of sight, see the picture, but see it clearly. So He wants you to see it, and see it properly. So when you see it properly, then you will get your answers yourself, will get. But you must see the picture correctly. So your vision needs to be right, and see without any bias. See, think, relax, leave all the bias, the prejudice, your personal grudges, malices, leave all that aside. Your preferences and non-preferences, leave it all aside. Now think with a clear vision. And if you can't, then get someone to help you to reason. أَنْتَقُومُوا لِلَّهِ مَثْنَى وَفُرَادَى Some people can think better when they are on their own. When they are on their own, then they can think, they can reason properly. Like I tell some of my friends, when the madrasa is closed, I can think better. Because our mind is not occupied with all the other duties. I'm left now, then I think, alright, this is supposed to be like this, and this is not supposed to be like this. And what should be the future plan? So all that, those thoughts can come to me, alhamdulillah, when I'm, although I enjoy your company, but I think better when I'm all alone. Now some people are such that they can think better when they're alone, and some people are such that they can't think when they're all by themselves. Why? You think of something, you think of, right, for example, you think of namaz, right? And how must I correct my namaz? You think on yourself. So the next moment you're already by the Kaaba Sharif, and then you're planning your Umrah ticket, the ticket when it will come, right? And then you think, alright, what about that penalty, 2,000 riyals? Hey, how can they do such a thing? And but can it work out now if I just get a new passport? So see how your mind will just hop from one thing to the other. Let's carry on and on. You're just going in circles. So some people need a little bit of an assistance for their thoughts to be guided. And others can think better when they are by themselves. Reason, understand, seeing things correctly. So Allah wants you to use this faculty. فَأَتَبِرُوا يَا أُولِي Take lessons, understand. Allah revealed to one Nabi that you wear a shoe with the iron sole, right? And an iron stick. And walk, keep walking until the whole shoe is worn out. And learn. So this universe is an excellent book, and time is the best teacher. Now you see things in time, alright? What happened now, and what were the reasons for this collapse, and how it came up, how it fell. Right, this person was so wealthy, was such a proud person, and he thought so much of himself. Where is he today? Right. So what brought about his rise? What brought about his fall? So look into these things. Allah wants you to look into these things. And then, you look into it or you read. One of the two. Either read or either you look. But now, what has happened to us today, that when we are reading into a book, what we are looking at, what we are wanting from that book. When we're reading to a book, what we are wanting? What we want is some pastime, some entertainment, right? Or we reading that book, whatever book we are reading, we're reading it as a sleeping tablet, you know. I want to get to sleep now. Hey, let's read something that I'll fall asleep. So that's not the purpose of reading a book. Whatever book you're reading, don't use it as a sleeping tablet. Right? Alright, it's better than not reading anything. Read at least something will go into your mind. Because what you read towards the end, you see, from Asr time or Zuhr time, you're thinking of something, you're reading, right? The chances are when you get up for Fajr, you'll think in the same lines. And if you're thinking about Jinnat and Jinnat stories, when now 1 o'clock in the morning, you need to go to the toilet, you'll see a Jinnat by the toilet door, some spook coming by the kitchen, right? Because you've been talking about these things here. When you're talking about these things here, then you begin to imagine. And whereas there's no existence of this thing. But what you've been discussing, the same thing appears to your mind in the morning, the time you get up. So end up the day in a nice way. And you end up the day starts declining after Zawal. See, after Zawal now, it's peaked. after the peak, then it's declining. So when it's declining, you must think now, I also will have a rise, and I will have a decline. So if the decline is going well, then you will rise up again well. So in your life also, if you're declining, and you're going down well, then when you rise up from your grave, you will rise up nicely. Simple understanding. Is there any complication in that? You repeat, right? You saw 30 years of your life, 35. Now, how much more did you see? You saw births, you saw deaths. You saw sicknesses, you saw health. There are good times, right? Right or wrongly, but you had good times. You saw all these things now. Now, how much more do you want a replay? So everything you saw yourself as a child playing with toys, then you came up playing with bicycles, then you came up a little more, you were boosting with your hairstyle, and whatever else, with your clothing, and whatever you was boosting, right? Right, you saw all that you saw. And now you see, old Chacha, and the hairstyle now. I saw one friend now, he's about 63, 64, and he's got a nice zulfa and all that, at that age, pure white, cotton wool white. Up uske ji mein ye baat aayi ki main zara lamba baal rakhu. Now he keep his mind, now I must style up. You see now, what happens? So it was not a time for you to entertain yourself. It was a time that you take a lesson. You saw all these things here. Now what have I learned throughout my life? So time is the best teacher. But provided you think about the different phases that you've gone through. What have I seen and what must I do? I saw this, and what I must expect? I saw this, and what will things turn around like? When you think like that, so you're thinking positively, you're thinking constructively, and then you want a future plan for yourself. Luqman alayhi salam, man of wisdom, right? And he's the only non-Nabi whose words of wisdom are counted in the Quran Sharif. So someone asked him, right, you're black, right? And you got no features, right? For everything that black will have, no features you've got. But then when we see your discourses, we see people coming from far and abroad, and they throng to your discourses, they're learning from you. And they learn substantial, phenomenal things they learn from you. How come? Where did you learn wisdom from? See that? So it's not the features, it is what the man has got. See, it's not the house, it is the inmate of the house. What attracts people to the house? Is it the features? You got a house now, so will people get attracted? Look at Baiparia's house, Alhamdulillah Ali, right? Up till the time he was alive, I saw there was no features in the house. Some tin used here, some plank wooden floors. But he had the greatest of people coming to his house, the wealthiest of people, greatest of people, imams, everybody had. Imams of Arab Sharif, everybody coming to the house. So, was it the house that was attracting the imam and the wealthy and the poor and everybody to the house? Or was the inmate of the house? It is the inmate of the house that attracts. So it's not the features. It is what's within the person that attracts the person. So leave all these racist issues and all, leave that out. But see what you can do to build yourself, right? In the heavens, Allah Ta'ala will love you. In this world, people will like you. So what must you do? What must you build within yourself? That within, in the heavens, Allah Ta'ala loves you. The malaika admire you. They love you, they admire you. And the earth people like you. So both ways you are being liked, you are being loved. So Luqman alayhi salam was asked, but what is it in you that people get affected? He said, it's wisdom. Or then when did you learn wisdom from? Where and how did you learn wisdom? So he says, Hikmat az ablahe. I learned wisdom from the fools. Man, I got stunned now. Is that the place that you go and learn wisdom? Is that the place where you learn wisdom? Intelligence, understanding, direction, you want to get it, right? But is that the place that you want? You will get that wisdom. But you want to do a thing, you'll make it happen. You want to do a thing, you will make it happen. Allah Pak has given man that capacity, you want to do it, then you'll make it happen. Chota Mota's father, Mohan Yusuf's grandfather, Nana, right? he had collected a sum of money, planning to go for Hajj. So we also from Amzinto, right, that side, south coast. So he came to my grandfather, and he's complaining that I collected this amount of money, and I planned to go for Hajj. And people are frightening me, saying, no, for Hajj you need so much of money you need, then only is it possible for you to go for Hajj. So my grandfather replied, by Hajj is what you make of it. How you want to budget and how you want to program yourself, you can program yourself and you can make the Hajj comfortably. So now I learned the lesson, I know it. He understood what was being told to him. So he went, right, with his family. We used to call his family Kala, and we used to call him Sufi Mota, right? So they went, their luck, the year that they had gone for Hajj, there was some woman that was ailing, about 9,500 years of age. So they offered to make khidmat for this woman throughout. Right? So they made khidmat, I think, until she passed away. Now, that Kala is complaining to Sufi Mota that our whole Hajj was gone making khidmat for this woman here. We didn't enjoy this place. Can't we stay another year? He said, alright. Looked at his finance, alright, we'll rough it out a little bit, but we'll stay here. That money that was not sufficient to do one Hajj, they made two Hajj. See, when you want to do a thing, you can do it. They made khidmat for that person, got that person's dua until the end, then they budgeted themselves, and then Allah Ta'ala blessed them with the next Hajj. How did it happen? It's how you look at life. You want to make it happen, it will happen. You say, no, kis tarah se hoga, kya karenge, kaisa hoga. You put all the negatives before you, you can't get one thing done. Now, you put a negative before you, know, hey, I'm going to become a doctor. But now, I have to go to school. And if the school, if I fail then I become an embarrassment. And then I go to university, and if I give someone the wrong injection, kya hoga? You know, they'll take me to court and police and all that. Right? So will you do anything in life? Then you won't do anything in life. Then you have to just forget the negatives, and just carry on. Otherwise, if you carry on becoming negative, then you won't progress at all in life. Not with your wife, not with your children, not with anybody. So, Allah Pak wants you to be positive. لا تهينوا ولا تحزنوا. Don't break your courage. Build your determination for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. To put yourself down because of some grief, etc. It's not a Muslim. Look at the positives. Look at the greatness of Allah Ta'ala, the glory of Allah Ta'ala. From a drop, how he makes such a beautiful person like yourself, powerful, mighty. So can't he make things happen? Look at a plant, right? Dirt is put into it, dirt, filth. And then it blossoms out with so beautiful fruit, so good fragrance. But then you look at the feed, what it was feeding on, is absolute filth. Doesn't it happen? Can you see the kudrat of Allah Ta'ala? Absolute filth is going down, and beautiful fruit, fragrant, sweetness, everything is coming out. So look at the kudrat of Allah Ta'ala. Don't look at your limitation. So coming back to Luqman alayhi salam now, right, and they asked him, how did you learn this wisdom from the stupid fools? He says, no, I saw, alright, how is this person, why is this person collapsed? He met up in an accident. How did he make up an accident? Oh, I see. He met up in an accident because he was neglectful. He's driving and he's got his phone. Right? And then he just got consumed so much into that phone that he forgot that he was on the road. And then, before he knew it, there was a collision. Right? So where he went off because of the phone. So now, I need to be man enough to throw this away. Abu Talha radiallahu anhu is in his namaz. In his own orchard is his namaz. And a bird is distracting him. In his namaz, he's getting distracted by a bird. And we talk of bird and all that, right? We think so innocent of ourselves, you know, bird. You see, Allah's park creation, no dirt, no filth, right? But now, he is getting distracted from his cause because of the chirping of a bird, fluttering of a bird. You know, this thing is distracting me from my cause. So, I don't need to keep it with me, I need to give it out in sadaqah. A multi-million property that he's got, and for the slightest distraction that it brought in his focused to Allah Ta'ala, he's prepared to relinquish. I don't need this thing here. Why is it distracting me? But like I say, you need to think, understand, and then be man enough to accept it and correct yourself. But you're thinking and you're seeing the right, but you're not man enough to then throw up things, right? Then you can't progress. How are you going to progress? You thought you could see right, understand things, right? Perspective. But then you don't have the courage, you don't have the determination to take the step on. Then will you make progress? You saw that student is studying hard. Madrasa or school, wherever he's studying hard. On the first day, he's doing his homework, his assignments. He's going for some tutoring, whatever. But he's taking, he's grasping, understanding, seeing things, managing his time right, right? 99% of the time, the student will come out with good results, right? But from the beginning, he's wasting his time. Wasting his time, not attending classes, not doing his assignments, not doing his homework, right? Not listening to his teachers, being defiant, showing attitude. And you expect that child to fail. Now at the end of the year, he says, no, it's takdeer now that I failed. Is that right for him to say that? He's not talking about all the time that he wasted. He's talking about now takdeer, because now he's got no front, so no nothing to cover himself. So he uses takdeer as a front for his failure, just to appease his conscience. Is that the right thing? So you see someone progressing, or what were the steps? How did he progress? He was positive. He did mashwara. He spoke. And then Allah Ta'ala guided him. But no, I am everything. So Allah Ta'ala's plan in this world is that nobody is self-sufficient. Nobody is self-sufficient. See, these people took Isa alayhi salam as God, right? So now look at it. Just look at the whole equation. Those that have taken Jesus as God, they need to understand, right? That when you talk someone as a God, as Allah Ta'ala, right? Then you expect him to be totally independent, absolutely independent. He will see to your needs, and he's got no needs. That's Allah Ta'ala. And if he's got needs himself, then he can't be God. He will see to all your needs, and he's got absolutely no needs. That's Allah Ta'ala. Right? Now if you are worshipping a rock and a stone, then for that thing to be shaped as an idol, it needs you. Can it become an idol without your workmanship? So for its very existence, it required you. If that thing was filthy, it would need you again to be cleaned up, right? If a dog comes around, right? Like a lot of times you'll find, dog will come around, and you see an ideal spot, right? When you see an ideal spot, it lays up its one, the hind leg, and make pisab there. So on the idol's face, then it will make pisab, right? Right? Now, for that thing to be cleaned up again, then it needs you to be cleaned up. So it's a conglomeration of needs, and then you want to take it as an ideal God, as a dog, as a God. Is that the right thing? It's making sense. So understand yourself, God and Allah Ta'ala, when we talk of Allah Ta'ala, is one who sees to every person's need, but he's got no needs, absolutely no needs. So when you look at Isa alayhi salam, you see what the Quran Sharif has said. Mal Masih ibn Maryam illa Rasul, just a messenger. Like other messengers passed. Ummuhu Siddiqa. Mother, right? Siddiqa, simple translation. She was a wali auratthi. What? She was Allah wala. You know, it's Allah wala. Wali auratthi. She was the wali of her time. Ummuhu Siddiqa. Right? Here you understand the second thing. Is when Allah speaks in praise of Maryam alayhi salam, then he speaks about her being a waliya. A wali of a time, right? Siddiqa. So, when you're speaking in praise, when you're applauding someone, then you applaud him for the highest virtues and excellence, don't you? So that means her highest achievement was that she was a waliya. So she's not a Nabi, right? Because had she been a Nabi, and Allah Pak only said that she was a wali, then really obviously it wasn't a total applaud. I see you, right? You are a specialist now. You are a specialist. And you are not a specialist, you are the head of a specialist. I say, well, he's a doctor, he's a GP. Or you went through the course, so you could be a GP as well, right? But I say you are a GP, is that a praise or is it an embarrassment? It's a disgrace. It's an embarrassment. Although you do have that title against your name, that you was a GP at some point, but I don't recognize your excellence, your virtue, and your merit, then really I haven't respected you. So Allah Pak is saying, Ummuhu Siddiqa. Mother was who? Siddiqa. Wali Admiti. Wali Orati. Now look at the verse after that. Kana Ya'kulani Ta'am. Both him and his mother both used to eat. So Allah Pak has ruled it off that you people are worshipping sometimes his mother, sometimes himself, but both of them were embodiments of needs. How they become embodiments of needs? Because if you need food to survive and to sustain yourself, that means you require the entire world's services. You need the service of all the world for your needs. You need the rain, you need the cloud, you need the sun, you need the day, you need the night, right? You need farmers, you need people to harvest, you need people then to mill the thing, you need people then to cook the thing and prepare the thing, and then that thing must be served. So much of needs you've got. So much of needs you've got, then how can you call yourself a God? Because again, understand what is the concept of God. God is He who sees to everybody's needs. Right? And He's got absolutely no need. Now, you've got so many needs. Now, they got it in Luke, right? Matthew and Luke, they got it in by the Bible. Right? Now, these people are planning to assassinate Isa alayhi salam, right? So, when they're planning to assassinate Isa alayhi salam, so he's pleading to Allah, making dua. The words in Hebrew, Ilahi, Ilahi, lima sabachthani. That's a Hebrew word, right? Oh God, why did you discard me? Oh God, why did you discard me? Now you see, even to the extent of life, he can't even look after his own life. Forget the rest, food and all that, right? Even that valuable life, you know, pretty life, he couldn't even look after life. Can he be called a God? Right? And then you said that he's got a mother. See, of course you're saying one word, but there's so many things within this one word. Right? Now you said he's God, right? Then when you said he's God, and you said he's got a mother, right? That means he was born. When you said he was born, that means he had to go through the same procedure that every man goes through. Mother had to become pregnant, morning sickness, throwing up, then the same passages he had to come out through, right? Can you imagine now, God, one side God, one side confinement, passages, same passages. Now, does a person become a God, right? Number three, I look at it again, right? If you said he was God, right? Right? So, who was the God before him? Because he had to be born to come up, right? He had to be born to come up. But then who was the God before Isa alayhi salam? You understand that the complications that will come up. So the straight thing is that he is not God. Right? Right? Now look at the fourth complication I showed you. Fifth complication is, if you've eaten, right, then you have to defecate. Al-Mu'a Qasim Sahib Narutwi Rahmatullahi, he's in a debate, a Christian on the other side. He says, Khuda koi Akta mutta hai. Can a God make number one and number two? Now the words he used were like actual words, what they use, Akta mutta hai. Right? See, how can we say that words of Isa alayhi salam? So, alright, Akta mutta ni, bolo baraz. Don't say, you know, shit or something, but say defecate, right? But does it change the whole? It's the same thing. It's the same thing. Right? Or I will say it in a more respectable manner, but it's the same thing. So now, one said God, then he's dependent so much for his existence, then he also is dependent for that thing to come out of his system, then who is this thing? Can he be God? There's so much of dependence. So now, Allah Pak has deliberately made this universe such, okay, every person, whoever he may be, but he is dependent. Can anybody claim that, no, I don't need anything, I don't need anybody? Can anybody say that? The wealthiest to the poorest, each person is absolutely dependent, from the beginning of life, right till the end of life. Beginning of life, you need your mother, you need your father. Can you say you could do without the parents, your parents? For your basic hygiene, you couldn't even clean yourself. You needed them. And when you were crawling, then you didn't know dirt, and you didn't know filth, and you didn't know purity. So it's possible that your vomit had come out, and you've been licking your own vomit, right? Isn't it possible? It's possible your hand was going everywhere, in your napkin and everywhere. And I think if your mother wasn't around, you could have been licking whatever you could have been licking, right? But isn't it possible? So you see the dependence that you had on your parents. As you're aging now, as you come up, then too you need. You can't say you don't need. Now you've got a small shop, small operation. Well, Abira got a small operation, Abbott-wise one, right? So I ask you, can you see you're dependent of all workers? You need a worker to lay the animal, to slaughter, to skin, to slice. Do you need or don't you need? At any point, you can't say that I'm totally independent. Now, Allah has designed the world in such a way that you are an embodiment of needs. You can't say that you're not in need. Now, why He's done this? He's done this to create, to make you understand how weak you are. That without all these supports, without all these supports, you can't stand. You got the support, now you can stand. Without the support, you're absolutely useless. So to make you understand, to put you in perspective, by you, this is what you are. You are personification, you are an embodiment of needs, absolute need. Right up to the time of death, when you died also, then too you need someone to make your ghusl, then too you need someone to bury you and cover you up. Imagine you die and nobody is worried about you. It's like an animal now, a monkey died, right? So the monkeys, do they know how to bury the corpse? You're just lying there, you're decaying, you're filthing, and you're just ending up like that. So you need... And your needs are from birth right till death. And post-death. And even post-death, even then you need people. Bhai, mere kabar se zara guzar karke, zara fatiha par ke jao. He say, guzar jate, at least read something and read something besides my grave. Don't just pass on like that. So right through you need, you are embodiment of needs. To create realization, to create understanding within you, that understand yourself in perspective, you're so weak. So when you're so weak, then you need to turn to the one that is so powerful. Almighty. Not mighty, but almighty. You may be mighty, but you're not almighty. So when you are so weak, then you need to turn to the one that is almighty. When he's almighty, then he can do all what you want. When he was partly mighty, he could do some things for you. A doctor got some might, right? So perhaps the two things he can correct. But can he give life? If the tooth is totally decayed, finished, class, can he replace it? Can't. And he has to just extract it and throw it away. So he's got some understanding, a little bit of, he can't boast for himself. And on our side, what we need to do is now understand the lesson of humility. How dependent. How much I need. And then how much do I turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's why I started this talk today with the grace of Allah ta'ala. That we need to see and understand things in perspective. فَمَا ذَا بَعْضُ الْحَقِّ إِلَّا الضَّلَالِ فَأَنَّا تُصْرِفُونَ. How are you getting turned away? That you depart from the truth, then there's nothing but straying. Nothing but misguidance. Then you are lost. You are totally lost. مَاذَا بَعْضُ الْحَقِّ إِلَّا الظَّلَالِ. So find out the truth first. Right? So Allah Pak has kept procedures for everything in this world. Everything in this world, Allah Pak kept procedures. You follow procedure, you will come to the right ends. Hungry, go and eat. Right? And isn't that procedure? Right? And to eat, then you need to get the food all prepared. You need to get the ingredients. Right? So can you see procedures? Allah Ta'ala can do things without the means, right? He can do. Right? But that's not the general style. It happened, right? رَبَّنَا أَنزِلْ عَلَيْنَا مَائِدَةً مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ. Right? Christians, they're asking, Hawariyin, right? They're asking Isa alayhi salam, هَلْ يَسْتَثِيُ رَبُّنَا أَن يُنَزِّلَ عَلَيْنَا مَائِدَةً مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ. Can your Rabb, can Allah Ta'ala send us a tree of food So the style that they had asked was wrong. Can. Is that the way to speak about Allah Ta'ala? Can He do this? هَلْ يَسْتَطِيُ رَبُّنَا أَيْ يُنَزِّلَ عَلَيْنَا مَائِدَةً. Is that the right way to say about Allah Ta'ala? Can you do this? Number one. Number two is, that's not the style of Allah Ta'ala to send prepared food. Right? He's got a procedure, this is how you prepare food. Though He can do it, but that's not the system of Allah Ta'ala. Now you ask me something contrary to the system, that again is not the appropriate thing. Like you're saying, now it's 5:30. Can Allah Ta'ala in the next 10 seconds, can He make it like 12 o'clock at night? He can do it. Can anything stop Allah Ta'ala? Nothing. Nothing can stop Him. He can make it, right? But you're asking for something that is abnormal. Now is that right for you to ask for something that is absolutely abnormal? It's not right for you to ask. So don't ask for things that are not normal. Right. But these people ask this type of dua. Anyway, so Isa has made that dua. رَبَّنَا أَنزِلْ عَلَيْنَا مَائِدَةً مِنَ السَّمَاءِ. Send us a tray of food. Right. So Allah Ta'ala did send it down after that. إِنِّي مُنَزِّلُهَا عَلَيْكُمْ. I'm going to send it down. Allah Ta'ala did send the food down to them. Right. So Allah Ta'ala can work against the system. Nobody can stop Allah Ta'ala from working against the system. He is not bound and not subjected to a system. Right? But then you need to see that what is the plan of Allah Ta'ala. This is the system of Allah Ta'ala. You work like this and this is how Allah Ta'ala will bless you. Now you want to work against the system of Allah Ta'ala, then this is not appropriate. So when you move away, when you depart from the truth, مَاذَا بَعْضُ الْحَقِّ إِلَّا الضَّلَالِ, then you're going off. Total off. So this is why you will see in the pages of the Quran Sharif, again and again, Allah Ta'ala repeats this whole lesson. But I leave these doubts, these suspicions, superstitions, doubts, grey areas, leave it out. تَرَكْتُكُمْ عَلَىٰ طَرِيكَةٍ بَيْضَىٰ. The path that I've shown you is absolutely clear. There is no grey areas. Layluha wa naharuha sawa. Everything is clear, absolutely clear. So there's no unclarity, there's no ambiguity in this path. When there's no ambiguity in the path, then you will ask then, why is it that today's man is going through so much of difficulty in finding and determining the truth? That's a question, isn't it? Jamaat is split, that is split, this is split. So why man is going through so much of difficulty in determining the truth? That will be the question, isn't it? One person came here, I think it was a Friday, it's Friday that passed. A lot of Josh. He says to me, he should be about 45, came from Newcastle somewhere, that side, came to see me especially. Hey, what happened? So he started crying and in a bad state. I said, but why is our ummah split? Right? So I had to listen to his story now to be able to understand what's his problem. Then I can guide him after that. Why is it must-built? So I didn't answer that one. I told him, whatever happens to the ummah, right? It is not that, na'uzu billah, Allah Ta'ala has lost control. Allah's control is like what it was from the beginning. His control has not weakened down. Don't ever think like that. وَلَا يَعُودُوا حِفْزُهُمَا. Nothing can prevent Allah Ta'ala from controlling and running his systems. Nothing stops him. Right? Nothing stops him. Yes, you need to understand, under the circumstance, what are you supposed to be doing? But why is this happening? That's not your business. Because this world doesn't belong to you. لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Belongs to him. He's running it. That is his business. Yes, what you need to know is, what must I do? So, what you worried about is why Allah Ta'ala allowed the split. That's what you're asking. He said, crying, oh, the ummah was one, and why split and all that. So I had to condition his mind now. I said, but it's not your world, it's not your take, it is Allah Ta'ala's take, it is his call, he will decide like how he wants. So first I have to get his iman right. So, no, my father was so old, it's from the beginning of the Jamaat he was. So all the stories you have to keep it aside now. You are directing the person now because of your father. It doesn't mean you are guaranteed that you will be guided as well. If your father was a Mulana and a Buzrug, naturally you will become a Buzrug. Is it natural? That's a Christian mentality. That's a Jewish mentality. They said also, لَا يَدْخُلَ الْجَنَّةَ إِلَّا مَنْ كَانَ هُودًا أَوْ نَصَارَى. We got all the rights for Jannat. We're saying the Christians and the Jews. All the rights. We have reserved all the rights. Nobody besides us. We exclusive rights. Rights of exclusivity. Why? Because we believe in Christ, God. And we believe in Him. So, we also believed that He died for our sins. For all the gunas make. So, Christianity becomes a passport to sin. You got a license to do, because He died. For you, for who? For you He died. So, you got a license to sin. Alright? So that means you're getting into Jannah. That's what you say, right? Alright. And the Jew, why he feels that he's got exclusive rights? He says, we come from a certain line. When we come from a certain line, then we got all the rights to be in Jannah. You're not coming from that line, so no Jannah. You come from that line, you get into Jannah. So Allah Pak says, تِلْكَ أَمَانِيُّهُمْ. See where they're going wrong. This is just your dream. Now we say dream. Amani. It's just your dream. Your fancy hopes. Nothing beyond hopes. Forget it. Like how we say, it's just your dream. Forget all these dreams. It's just your fancy hopes. تِلْكَ أَمَانِيُّهُمْ. قُلْ هَاتُّ بُرْهَانَكُمْ. See the Quran Sharif words. هَاتُّ بُرْهَانَكُمْ. Bring your proof. Where's your proof? You say that you got exclusive rights for Jannah, right? Because of what? Because of Christ or because of your line. So, alright, if you make this claim, then for every claim, there must be a proof. In Darul Diyoban, there was one youngster studying, So it was the Shaykh Ulin Rahmatullah's time. And every now and then he would make some question. What about this? What about this? And then sometime he'll make a claim, He'll make a claim that this is like this. He'll make a claim. So the Shaykh Ulin Rahmatullah used to answer, but in a very systematic manner, so that the child's mind opens up to other problems he can understand and he can reason himself. But he just gave him an answer on the spot, and he didn't open the child's mind. If he's confronted with another problem, he doesn't know how to solve it out. So he says, alright, you're making a claim here. Where's the proof? Shaykh Ulin asked the student, you made a claim, now where's the proof? So bring your proof, then I can understand, I can explain to you. He said, arey, wah. Main dawa karu, aur main uski dalil bhi pesh karu. Main dawa karu, ab dalil pesh karo. He says, how strange that I must make a claim and I must support the claim with a proof. No, I must claim and you must bring the proof. I must claim and you present the proof. See the stupidity. So Allah is telling them, bring your proof. You're saying what you're saying is right. Bring your proof. Then Allah gives the principle, the narrative. How does it work? The whole narrative of Jannat and Jahannam, how does it work? What's the principle? How does it work? Bala. No, not at all. It doesn't work. The system above doesn't work like that. Bala. He's ruling it off. No, why? You've misunderstood the whole thing. It doesn't work like that. Bala. There's no exclusivity. There's no rights. There's no franchise. Absolute nothing. You don't have any rights. Then how does it work? It works like this. Man aslama wajhahu lillahi wa huwa muhsin. Whoever surrenders himself, submits himself with all humility, he bows down to Allah Ta'ala. He bows down to Allah Ta'ala mentally, physically, emotionally, intellectually. In every respect, he humbles himself. Main kuch nahi, tu sab kuch hai. I am absolutely nothing and you are everything. That's called submission. That I am absolutely nothing and you are everything. You see? Because I was born from nothing and I will end up into nothing. So I am nothing. When I was born, I was absolutely nothing. Right? And when I ended the life, then I am absolutely nothing. So I am nothing. I am a non-entity. And you asked everything. Because there is nothing and you bring up things. Absolutely nothing and you bring up the beauty, the splendor, the attraction, everything you bring it about. There's nothing. And who brought about that beauty? Who brought about that attraction? Who brought about that admiration? He brought everything. Man aslama. So your duty then, your role in this world is total submission. Give yourself up to me. Whether it's mentally, whether it is spiritually, whether it is emotionally, whether it is physically, whatever you say, I'm prepared. You, the master, I am the slave. Your duty is to command, the work is to command, my duty is to obey. So get it in perspective. As Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, once I was studying in Dioban, so I went up to my ustad. See, the beauty of these people is they always connected to the teachers. No matter how much they had gone and progressed, he's become a mujaddid and his talks are circulated right throughout India. But that doesn't stop him to go to his ustad. He still goes, maintains the taluq. So once he goes up to his ustad and he says, Hazrat, you know, I want to get control of some jinnat also. You know, you hear some stories, jinnat stories and how the thing got affected and how you worked it out and all that, right? So I want some control of some jinnat. Can't you guide me? You know? So he's asking his ustad. Now that was good of him, because when he's going to be open and forthright, right, then it will be a lesson for all of us. He went and asked, right? Now these type of thoughts can be lingering in our minds as well. So had he not asked, right, so had he kept that question to himself, he wouldn't have gained, and nor would we have gained. But he asked, now he gained, and we gained. He got a direction, we got a direction. So his ustad explained to him, there are methods that you can control, right? Lekin ek baat batao, show me one thing. Tum dunya mein aaye ghulam ban karke ya khuda ban karke. You come into this world as a god or as a slave. You didn't come in as a god, you came as a slave, remain a slave. Bas, enough. End of the story. So I explain this person, you see. That Allah Pak has kept procedures for everything. Now, understand, get the picture in perspective, then you'll know this whole problem, right? I asked him, alright, just imagine to yourself that now you met Allah Ta'ala. You met Allah Ta'ala now, face to face with Allah Ta'ala. What do you want? Right? You know, when you're face to face with Allah Ta'ala, so you have to present your papers, right? You need to present your paperwork, right? When you at the gate of SARS, what you want? You have to present your paperwork to SARS. Doesn't that happen? So you with Allah Ta'ala, what do you want? You want to present your paperwork. But you want to present your paperwork in such a way that He gives you 100%, that He passes you. That's what you want, isn't it? So now imagine you before Allah Ta'ala, what you want? You want your paperwork to be in order, 100%. You don't want any discrepancy, any weakness you don't want. You don't want anything wrong, you want absolute 100%. Your paperwork must be absolutely right. You don't want any problems in your paperwork. So do you want that? Said yes. But did you work out then how do you get your paperwork right? You know, if you want your SARS all right? So you must get your paperwork right. But then, do you understand how do you get your paperwork right? So, you know, let me think about it. Alright, then I need to present my paperwork. I need to present my paperwork to an accountant, an experienced, not a child that just came out of the course now, just came out of the box now, going to ask him. He's got years of experience, he knows the whole game, how it works, how SARS will see you, and how they see you favorably. They'll give you perhaps a reduction or something they'll give you. How they look at you favorably, you need to go to someone that is very, very experienced and qualified. Isn't that the procedure? Yes. So Allah Pak has created a procedure that every person was dependent. So the businessman is dependent on the accountant. And the accountant is also dependent on the businessman. If the businessman doesn't go to him, has he got business? Right? And the businessman doesn't go to the accountant, then he's lost out also, both lost out. So Allah Pak has created this system. Understand. So now, in your money issues, because you could see rands and cents, because you could see millions going away, so you're very careful about it. Million went away. But because the akhirat is not before you, so now Allah Pak is Ghafoor Rahim. Allah Pak will forgive that time. But Allah Pak is Ghafoor Rahim not only for the akhirat, He's Ghafoor Rahim here also. When He's Ghafoor Rahim here, then what was the need for you to go to the accountant? Didn't you say He's Ghafoor Rahim? So He's Ghafoor Rahim only for the hereafter, or both worlds. When He's Ghafoor Rahim for the both, then you went to Him, you hope in His mercy in the hereafter. So you don't hope Him to look at you favorably in this world. You see this, you still see the need to go through the procedure. I got a problem, I need to go and account it. Alright. Now look at the same analogy again. Now you're meeting with Allah Ta'ala, you need to present your paperwork. When you need to present your paperwork and get your paperwork 100%, then what is the requirement? The requirement is then, right, then you will find out from someone that knows Allah Ta'ala best. For your SARS, you have to go to someone who knew the finance best, or the experience best. So you got through very comfortably, very easily. For meeting up with Allah Ta'ala, then what's the requirement? Who knows Allah Ta'ala best? Who is best with Allah Ta'ala? He is best in good to Allah Ta'ala. And he knows Allah Ta'ala best. So he knows how the presentation goes well. He knows how the meeting goes well. He knows how Allah Ta'ala will check you out. He knows that. When he knows which are the areas that Allah will see you, then he will guide you correctly. Right? So he must know Allah Ta'ala, and he must be also truthful to Allah Ta'ala. Because if he is not truthful to Allah Ta'ala, then how can he be truthful to you? He must be loyal to Allah Ta'ala. If he is not loyal to Allah Ta'ala, then how can he be loyal to you? So he must be loyal and truthful, and he must know not only loyalty, but loyalty and knowing. So he must have that level of knowledge, and he must be truthful as well. What we say righteousness, what we say piety, etc. He's got both. Right. So now, when you have asked him, you have contacted him now. Right. See, the Quran says, Ar-Rahman, fas'al bihi khabira. You want to know about Allah Ta'ala? Ask the person that is very well acquainted. Jo Allah Ta'ala ko janta hai, who knows Allah Ta'ala, you ask him. He will tell you how you must get your paperwork right. So this is a procedure that is divine, that is coming from the heavens. So there can't be a discrepancy in this procedure because it's coming from above. Ar-Rahman, you want to know about Allah Ta'ala, then the one that knows Allah Ta'ala, best go to him, refer to him. But now you want to get to Allah Ta'ala, but you want to avoid this. You want to circumvent this whole thing. Right? Oh, I'll go to the accountant, sitting there 1 hour, and it's 5,000, Hey, but hey, this people is a rip-off, man. Little bit, just see some figures here and there, make some adjustment, 5,000. Alright, go and fix up yourself then. Now you want to fix up yourself, I have to pay 1 million rand. I have to pay the SARS 1 million rand more. You want to save 5,000, and you got knocked for 1 million. Akal ki baat, is that making sense? So pay the 5,000 rand and save yourself. Same here now. Now shift your program and go and find out who you will find from. Ar-Rahman fas'al bihi khabira. So now he's turning around the whole thing. I'm saying, you know what? The same person I'm talking to. So he's saying, you know what? I got a good mind. I'll take the flight to Pakistan. I'll hold Haji Abdul Wahab Sahib. Now he's the head of the Tabligh in Pakistan. I'll hold him. Put him into the flight, take him to Nizamuddin, and join him up. I can see now, he's hyped up very heavy, you see. So I said, alright, you know what? I don't think you need anybody, man. How can you say, I don't need anybody? I don't need a sheikh. How can you say it? Because you are Haji Abdul Wahab's guide. Because you are showing what is right and what is wrong. He doesn't know it still. That's how you have to take him into the plane, and bring him to Nizamuddin and correct himself, that means you are above him. You know, I didn't mean that. But this is what you are saying now, that he didn't understand there's a problem. Therefore, I have to grab him, put him onto the plane, cart him to Nizamuddin and get him right. I made a big mistake now. Now he's understanding. See, I had to speak to him like that. He's speaking very wild, very randomly speaking. So I had to speak to him like that to make him understand. Now he started crying and said, what must I do now? After I took him to the whole exercise, he said, what must I do? I said, by this act small, be a small tablighi. He said, but why is the difference? I said, I gave two answers. I gave one answer, I said, see, you are in charge of the difference. You don't worry about that. Number two, I said, when there's a separation, there is a precedent for a separation. See, we're not Roman Catholic, what? A Roman Catholic, you marry forever. You can't divorce. You can't divorce. But Allah Pak understood, Allah Pak is the creator of man. When he's the creator of man, he understands that sometimes there is no compatibility. When there is no compatibility, then he's created an exit. Well, you try to fix it up, patch it up, make it work. You try it 101 ways. But everything that you're trying is just failing, falling apart. Everything is just falling apart. So he's created an exit from this. Otherwise, you must die in frustration. There's no exit. I got into this, I can't come out of it. So if you're a Roman Catholic, then you have to die in frustration. But if you're a Muslim, then there's a way. All right. Do this, do this, do this. And eventually there should be an exit, then you separate with respect. Right? And if there's no separation with respect, then you are filled with malice and you will do something terrible one day with that wife. Because you don't have a way to take the frustration out. To live with her, you can't do anything. And you don't have a way to offload your frustration. Then you will end up doing something terrible. So the Quran is saying now, if you have to move your ways, then move. إِمْسَاكُمْ بِمَعْرُوفٍ أَوْ تَسْرِيحٌ بِإِحْسَانٍ. You have to hold together, then with respect. With respect, with discipline, respect, good character. Otherwise, separate with respect. But now you want to be together with the fight and the bickering, frustration. You are swearing, she's swearing. You are fighting, you are complaining to the whole world, she's complaining to the whole world. So there's no harmony in this. So there is a precedent for this, that when there is no compatibility, then you go your way and he goes his way. Can you say now that they got no ikhlas, therefore they've separated? Otherwise, what was the need for Khizr alayhi salam to move away from Musa alayhi salam? Right? Can you fault any one of them? Both are Nabis. He's a Nabi. Can you fault any one of them? You can't fault them. But they saw that there wasn't the compatibility. There wasn't the understanding. So, هَذَا فِرَاقُ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنِكَ. Now you go your way, I go my way. No, both must come together. Both must come together. All united. Right? I ask you, right? Father-in-law got a business, right? Huh? Multi-millionaire, right? Now, you also a multi-millionaire. So, why don't you join your father-in-law in his business? No, man. I don't think it'll work out. But now, all Muslims will be together, bhai. Now, there the partnership and the togetherness doesn't work out. So, no, he's got a different style, I got a different style. No, work and be humble. Will you accept all my bayat? The bayat that I'm giving you of joining up with him, be humble, be sincere, be good. Will you accept that? So, no way. My style is different, your style is different. You go your way, I don't want to fight with you. I don't want to speak ill of you. You got a different approach, I got a different approach. You move your side, I move my way. I ask you, is there any problem now? Now he cried. He said, no, what must I do now? He said, now you go now. You got your mind clear. He said, now I want to take beer at you. I said, no. I said, no, mate. You don't come so impulsive. We just came for a meeting here. So no more, I listened to some of your bayans previously. So right, that was then past. Now you saw the whole thing. Now you see how it's panning out. Understand the thing. You got a Molana in turn? Yeah, I got a Molana in turn. Do you refer to him? Yeah, you refer to him. Now you put everything in perspective, understand it nicely, get your mind cleared. When your mind is cleared, right, and then you have a rethink, then you can think about all this thing here. But now you just come here and in a matter of 40 minutes and you will just take a somersault straight away, and then you go back and say, hey, I was impulsive and I don't know why I took this quick step like this, you know. Then you will have a regret. You know, love at first sight, and then you get to the marriage. And then you have problems after that. So think everything in perspective. Is it going to work out? Is he going to fit into the family? Can we born to the immediate family, extended family? Does she know our style? Or she's not acquainted with our style? We cooking dokra and all that. Is it going to work out? Not going to work out. But it's not going to work out, then be man enough to say that it's not going to work out. Say that it's not going to work out. Finished. End of the story. Now you're going to force the thing. Oh, must get married. Must be. There's so many cases lying here, you know, where the parents are forcing, you know, do this. And the girl or the boy say, I'm not interested at all. So now you're going to get my curses. Mother is saying the daughter that you're going to get my curses. But is that the right way to think? See, it was the mother's fault. She sent the child to university. Now the child is a professional. Right? She's a professional now. Now what happens generally, the take is like this. When she's a professional, a man feels intimidated getting married to her. Now she's not getting the proposal that she wants. The mother couldn't find this. Now she's 23, she's aging now, 25, 28, 29. But she's about 29, mother says, you must get married. Don't you see the girls at your age, they're already mothers. And you still, you don't have a decent husband. You must get married to so and so. Now she's worried about her reputation, and because of her reputation, she wants to force this one into a marriage. And this one is saying that I can't just fit in that person's life. He is different. His ways are different. My ways are different. We can't fit in. Then you're going to force them, and then there's a bust up. Then what's going to happen? So the way of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Taraktukum ala tariqatin bayda. I have set you on a clear path. Absolutely clear. The other phone today, I made istikhara. It's a girl that's speaking now. I don't entertain this nowadays. Just ignoring it. It's interesting. So. I made istikhara. I just wanted to cut the talk now. I asked that girl, but have you got parents? Yeah, I got parents. But you discuss it with them. No, Mohana, you know. So, no, hey. You first discuss this whole thing with your parents. After you have got their approval, then you discuss with me. So, whilst I'm still talking to her, her mother came on the phone. So, mother is saying, I don't know how many times you explained this girl here, that person that she wants is not the right person. Because we have got experience, we have got understanding, we're trying to make her understand that your knowledge is just to your age. Your experience is just your age. You are a professional, whatever, that's in its place. But you don't know about life. It doesn't mean you are a professional, you know about life. This is a different thing, that is a different thing. So you're going to have accidents there, then you'll come back to us. So we don't want you to get into an accident and then come back to us. So you discuss it with us. So this is what I just told your daughter now, that she must get your approval. After she's got your approval, then she can go forward, inshallah, there will be barakat in that. But now, she wants to bypass you and come straight on a istikhara and then base everything on a istikhara. And then when it doesn't work out, then you say, istikhara didn't work. Didn't you hear this? Istikhara didn't work. Istikhara worked, you didn't work. You went the wrong way. One friend, sometime he phoned me from Joburg, you know. So, he tells me that he was about marriageable age. I knew his father very well, very, very well. I knew his father. He was of marriageable age. So he says to his father, "Me istikhara kariri du, pohi me joili di. I saw the girl in my dream, so I made the istikhara, everything is positive." So the father used a little bit of a harsh word, right? He says, I don't say it in Gujarati because it looks a little bit derogatory, right? So he says, the whole day you think about this girl, and then at night you're dreaming about the same girl that you're thinking about. And then the morning you come to me and say, I made istikhara. I said, I see the istikhara is positive. Istikhara is not positive. It's just what you were thinking about in the day, that's what you saw at night. What you were thinking in the day, that's what you saw at night. And you feel now that istikhara is positive. So if the istikhara is not positive, it is what you've been thinking about, that's what you saw. And then you feel, oh, it's just conforming with my istikhara, agreeing. That is why they say, Kitabs have got it, that when you need to make an istikhara about anything, right? Then when the thought just strikes, I need to get married to this girl. Just for example, the thought just struck you. You make istikhara straight away. Then you don't delay. Why? The reason is this, that if you want to delay, now the thought of that girl will come harder and harder and harder, it will settle in your mind. Right? Now when you make istikhara after that, then you will see what you were thinking about, what you were dreaming, what you were talking about, you saw the same thing. Now you can't say that my istikhara showed me this. You were thinking about the person, you were fantasizing about the person, you were talking about the person. So who you are fantasizing and talking about, you saw the same person after that, and then you will say, no, istikhara came right. So that procedure is wrong. So the first step is, you ask, you got elders in the family, if your parents are alive, speak to them, or you got uncles, aunts, go and speak to them. They have seen life, they understand different families, whether you can fit into the family, they can fit into your family. They'll see all these things here. You can fit, mashallah, a good fitting, right? But you bypass them, and then you're going to go straight. So that's what I was explaining in the beginning, that these complications come about in life today because we're not following procedures. We don't understand that Allah has created procedures, and the procedures are supposed to be followed. You follow the procedure, and there is no problem. And the man came with so much of Josh, right from Newcastle he came. So much, I want to take them out, go on the plane, take Abdul Wahab Sahab, take him to Rizabuddin, get everything sorted out, one shot I'll get it done. And in half of the way, he had a whole somersault in his thinking. But you see that thinking way is going wrong. The way it's going wrong is you got a problem, and you think that you are expert enough, you can bring about a solution to every problem. Now Allah has designed the world, by you are good in something, he's doing something else, he's good in something else. You need that, you go to him. He needs you, he'll come to you. هذا صراطي مستقيما فاتبعوه لا تتبعوا السبل. So this straight path, you follow this path. All these paths besides the straight path, there are a lot of discrepancy, crookedness, all problems you got there. So move on the straight path. For the move straight path, I said, Ar-Rahman fas'al bi khabira. Allah Ta'ala, like you want to know about finance, you go to a finance person. You want to know about Allah Ta'ala, Allah wala ke paas jao. The finance expert will explain you finance, what you do, how you guard, how you preserve, how you make an investment, all that he will guide you. And Allah Ta'ala, he will show you the path to Allah Ta'ala. But then your mind must be clear. Your mind must be clear, unbiased, clear. So in a short meeting, you are making a lot of progress. Because now you're saying, do this, no, I got this problem. Do this and that problem. Do this and this problem. So, bye. But you sort yourself out. Too many problems you got. What I am suggesting to you, you got a problem for that. I say something and you want to counter. I say something else, you want to counter again. I say something else and you want to counter again. Then, how is it going to work? You want it, then this is how it works. You respect it, inshallah. The difference between a worldly thing and Allah wala is an Allah wala, even if he makes a mistake, provided it's not a sin, but he makes a mistake in his suggestions to you, right? He makes a suggestion, it's a mistake. But generally, the system of Allah, Allah will make that work. Even though, sometimes he makes mistakes in his suggestion. But because it's based on ikhlas, and it's not against the sharia, so he'll make that thing work for you. Allah will make it work.